The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. Because so much of what God revealed about himself comes in the form of stories, I'm going to start today with examples of two different kinds of stories that we tell about people. My first example, example one, is the story that we all know very well about young George Washington and the cherry tree. How little six-year-old George damaged a cherry tree with his shiny new hatchet in his father's orchard, and when his father was all in a lather about the destruction of his beautiful tree, so the story goes, George came forward and said his famous line, "I cannot tell a lie, I did cut it with my hatchet." And we tell this story for years and years and years, hundreds. We tell this story to teach a lesson. Good people always tell the truth, even if they might get in trouble. That's the basic moral. It doesn't really matter if the story is true or not, and in fact, it's not true. It's an invention of one of Washington's first biographers. It never happened, but that's okay, because we still tell the story to make a point and inspire people, especially our children, to do the right thing and to be noble, truthful people. That is a use of story. And then there's example two. If you were to ask me to recommend somebody for a job that you needed done that required a lot of strength, I might tell you a story about when we moved into our house on Cherry Street in Potsdam, and we had a huge old upright piano that had to fit through a narrow door in a tight place and go around the corner, and how our son, Wyatt, who is very strong, single-handedly lifted and maneuvered that piano through the door and into our house. It was pretty amazing to watch. And in this case, it makes all the difference in the world whether it's true, whether it really happened or not. Because I'm not telling the story to inspire you or to make you a better person. I'm telling you the story so that you'll know that Wyatt is the man for your job, because he is that strong. He can do what you need to have done. And it's really important for us to know the difference between these two kinds of stories when we read the Gospels. On the one hand, there are people who read the Gospels like a kind of holy Aesop's fables, to teach a moral or a lesson so that people will be inspired to do the right thing, to act the right way, to not do the bad thing. We use sometimes the life of Jesus Christ as a teaching tool. It's been my experience with Sunday school lessons that is pretty much the way the Gospels are presented. We tell our children, we tell our congregations this story about Jesus walking on the stormy waves of the Sea of Galilee to teach them that they must always keep their eyes on Jesus, by which we mean they must always pay attention to what Jesus has told us to do, or we'll sink beneath the waves, by which we mean we'll get overwhelmed by our troubles, we'll fail. And if we're using the story like that, it doesn't make so much difference whether Jesus literally walked along the top of the waves of a stormy sea or not, because the moral is the thing. If we remember that story, that nice story, it strengthens our resolve to step out in faith instead of fear, and the story has served its purpose. But what if what actually happened on that day was that Jesus, the man, put one real human foot in front of the other on the thrashing waves of the real, wet, salty Sea of Galilee during the actual meteorological event that we call a storm? What if those 12 men who were out in their fishing boat really cried out in terror because they saw someone that looked like a man but must surely have been a ghost walking towards them on the waves of the sea, out of the dark? What if Peter really and truly pulled himself together enough to step out of the boat, which is pretty amazing, and found himself walking, even if just for a moment, on top of those waves? And what if when he panicked and sank and his lungs started filling with that water, he felt the strong hand of Jesus hauling him to safety onto the deck of the ship? And what if that same Jesus, who turns out not to have been a ghost at all, was still alive and active today, willing and able to help us in our need, just like he helped Peter on that day? That would make all the difference in the world if you and I were facing something in our lives that was threatening to completely overwhelm us, something that's bigger and stronger than we are, something that's utterly outside our control, as much as a thunderstorm is outside the control of fishermen sitting in their boat. If you or I were in the middle of a raging storm, we would hear this story and we would rejoice that there is someone we can turn to, that there is a man for the job to save us. And that's important because it's pretty clear that we are living in very stormy times. The word that Matthew uses for what the wind is doing, battering the boat, is literally a word that means torture. The storm was tormenting them out in the dark wind and the driving rain, and threatening to break that little fishing vessel into pieces. And it doesn't take a great imagination to see that just like that little boat, our world, our fragile world, is being tormented day by day, rocking wildly on the waves of hatred and suspicion and division and fear and greed that are increasingly dividing us from one another. Yesterday, in all the news, white supremacists gather in Charlottesville, Virginia, and they stage a protest that turned violent, and 3 people died and many people were hurt. Every day we hear news about our president and the president of North Korea, who are both armed with nuclear weapons, trading threats with one another. We see terrorism on every side, human trafficking, famine, war, so much violence and injustice and human suffering in the world that the news can't even keep up with it all. They lose track of it. And it's not only on a global scale, but right here in our community, right here in our church, right here in our own families, we find ourselves in the middle of personal life storms. Many of us are battered by broken relationships or financial insecurity, or illness, or that slow but steady loss of growing older, a loss of strength, our loss of memory, our loss of independence, and that loneliness of losing the people one by one that we've known and loved. Sometimes it really seems like the troubles that face us are more than we can fight against. Sometimes we don't feel very hopeful about making it to the other side of the thing that we are facing right now. And we get tired. As the disciples just must have been weary to the bone from the struggle of trying to keep the boat from being swamped by the wind and the waves. Because it is true that the storm is very often bigger and more powerful, much more powerful than we are. We cannot save ourselves. And in the middle of that storm, what we don't need is inspiration and advice to keep our chin up and be brave and be good Christians. What we need in the middle of the storm is to know that the Jesus who walked out on that raging sea, where his friends were floundering and terrified in their little boat, that Jesus is with us. Not metaphorically, not figuratively, but with us. He's not a ghost. He's not a metaphor, he's not a myth, he's not a memory. He is living flesh and blood and ever-present spirit. Here, now, today, always. He hears our cries of fear and sadness and hopelessness. He sees when we are just growing tired of the battle, and he's standing not far off on a mountaintop, not up in the clouds with a white robe and sandals. He's standing right in the thick of the tempest. He's right in the middle of the howling winds and the driving rain and the crashing waves. And when we are battling the storm, he's the God who shows up. He's the one who calls out, "Take heart, it's me. Don't be afraid." But there's more to the story, too. Good old Peter called out to that ghostly figure in the storm. He still wasn't 100% sure whether it was Jesus or not. But he said, "If it's really you, call me to come out to you where you are." And Jesus didn't tell him, "Don't be a fool. Just stay right there. I've got this." No, he said one word. He said, "Come." And Peter, which always impresses me greatly, stepped out of the boat. Even though the storm was still raging just as terrifyingly as ever, he stepped out and he started to walk on top of the waves towards his Lord and Master. Because the proof that it was really Jesus wasn't just that he was able to walk on water. That's sort of a cliche, isn't it, but when you walk on water. The proof, the real proof that it was Jesus, is that he gave Peter the power to walk on water. And so if the Jesus of that gospel story is the same Jesus who's part of our daily lives, and it is, then we can know that Jesus is the man for the job when we're facing the high winds and the threatening waves in our own lives. He's the man for the job, first of all, because he's the one who shows up. When the disciples looked out into the darkness of that early morning that threatened to swallow up their boat, and them along with it, they saw Jesus right in the thick of the storm. They saw him coming towards them. There is nothing that we face, there's nothing we will ever face that is so dark or so powerful that Jesus is not right there in the middle of it, coming towards us. In our darkest times, in the worst times, when our fears or our sorrow or our hurt are just crashing into us, like the waves of a stormy sea, he is there, right in the middle of it. And he bids us come to him. And just like Peter stepped out of the fishing boat and stepped onto the churning waves of the sea, that same Jesus gives us the power to step out in faith towards him, to go out into the storm, to do the things we need to do that are too hard for us to do by ourselves, but not be overwhelmed. And then there's a little more of the story, because Peter's faith failed him when he looked around at the waves rushing towards him, when he heard the howling of the wind. He took his eyes off of Jesus, and suddenly he was going down like a bag of rocks. And there is no mystery about this part, because that's exactly what any of us here would have done. What would you do if you're standing on the waves and the wind is crashing around you? But Jesus was right there. When his faith failed, Jesus' faithfulness did not fail. And no sooner did Peter sink down under the waves and Jesus' strong arm caught hold of him, and as soon as they were both safely back in the boat, the wind died down and the waves grew still and the storm was over. And only then Jesus kind of gently and lovingly rebuked him for giving in to his fear. Why did you doubt, you little faith? It's a one word. It's such a nice word, little faith. That's the same Jesus that catches hold of us when we look around at our troubles that are genuinely so much bigger and stronger than we are. When we forget for a moment that he's the one who is Lord even over the wind and the waves, because we do. We forget. We get overwhelmed. We start to sink. But he's there to catch us. We're no better than Peter. We're little faiths too. But this is not a story about what we're supposed to try to be. This is not a story with a heartwarming moral to tell us to pull ourselves together and get our lives in order. It's a story about who Jesus is, about what Jesus can do. 2,000 years ago on the Sea of Galilee, and also today in Norwood, today in Charlottesville, today in Syria, anywhere and everywhere that God's beloved children are being tormented by the storms of this world. So today, hear the promise of your God who is alive and at work in your life today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.